God purposed us for blessing and chose us in his Son to him to be conformed when here our course was run. 141. Well, we turn again tonight to the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. We want to make just a few references tonight to this, but we'll be reading first of all in Leviticus 23 from verse 15. And he shall come unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheep of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 tenny meals. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer up with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a third offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savour unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. With the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Now just 2 things with this. The first in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Rather mysterious passage that we want to try and explain tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 1. And it came to pass on the 2nd Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. Just before leaving it, you'll find the new translation renders this verse. It came to pass on the 2nd, 1st Sabbath. That's why we say this puzzled me myself for many years, but I know that. The 2nd, 1st Sabbath. Now, if you turn on to John's Gospel, chapter 14, and the last verse. I think I'm right in saying that, yes. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and the last verse. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Now the next chapter, and verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what I think we'll be referring to, of course, as we go down. Now you may remember on the first night we were together, we pointed out that statement of Dr. Wollstone's, pardon me, of being it again, that until we have understood or learned something of the 3 sevens of Scripture, we never know where we are in the dispensation of the grace of God. The three sevens. Of course, these seven feasts particularly, the seven annual feasts that we are considering. The seven parables in Matthew 13, and the seven addresses to the seven assemblies in Revelation 1 and 2. I'm going to be 3. 1, 2, and 3. But if you look at them carefully, as we have done, you will find that in Matthew 13, four parables were given outside the house, three of them inside the house. Here again, four to the multitude, three to his own disciples, and the three inside of the house, only to be understood by those who stood in association with the Lord. I don't know about the gift of the Spirit to understand the inside working of the kingdom in contrast to an outside working with all kinds of material proved and bad professed and otherwise form a part in that kingdom. That was to the multitude of the other three, only to his own disciples. In the addresses to the seven assemblies, three of them we believe historically have passed away from the sea, the three states of the last four run on for the end, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. It's a particularly the day in the Philadelphian period, Thyatira that brought in Roman Catholicism, Sardis that brings in Protestantism, Philadelphia, love of the brethren, and last of all, Laodicea, the last naughtiest state of the assembly in the prophetic world. Those four run on for the end. Now, why I say that is in regard to what is before us tonight. Here again, in the seventh feast of Jehovah, the first four have already come to completion. As I hope we see tonight in this new offering. The last three look on to a future day, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles. I believe a day when you and I will be out of this world, when God will send forth the testimony, like the trumpet of this world, it will revive the remnant of Israel. It will bring them to a real day of atonement, realizing their sin before the Lord, and will prepare them to move into the world to come in the Feast of Tabernacles, when they dwell as before the Lord in booths. I say that because now tonight, in this newly offering, this fourth feast on the list, it covers this day in which you and I are living, that which has been rightly called the Spirit's Day. Now that's not a scriptural statement, but I'm perfectly sure it's a scriptural truth. This is the day in which the Spirit is in this world, following the work that Christ has done, and has formed a company in this world of every true believer. And this new made offering then that we're about to look at tonight covers this day, Christianity as we call it today, in this world, every believer on our Lord Jesus Christ. So we began in verse 15. It says, "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that he brought the sheep of the wind offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall be a number 50 days. Now I don't know if you've heard before that in the second chapter of the book of the Acts, the day of Pentecost has come. Pente is the Greek word for 50. Cost is the Greek word for days. Pentecost, 50 days. The answer to this statement that we have here. This Sabbath, as we have noted, was the Sabbath in which the Lord lay in his home. The first day after the Sabbath was the Lord coming forth and resurrection. And don't worry in that book that for 40 days the Lord moved in and out amongst his disciples, showing himself to this one and that one, giving 40 days proof that he was raised again out from among the dead before at last ascending to heaven When 10 days later, the Spirit of God came down from a glorified Christ, and Christianity began in the power of the Spirit in this world. That's where it began, and thank God that the Spirit is standing. And here today, we have been brought into this company, called here as new, becoming that just as the Lord was in this world, shall we say the first original meat offering. A man in this world moving from the pleasure of God, subject to his will, we have been called today to walk in this world, subject to the will of God. Beloved, let then my Spirit produce in you and in me the pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ for the pleasure of God. Whatever we may have been before, the gospel reached us. You Gentile barbarian, Paul I think speaks of four of them, doesn't they, in the beginning of Romans. And here we are, whatever we were, before the gospel reached us, and has brought us in a unified way into a new company, when with the Roman, Greek, barbarian, all Jew, I think of the four, he quotes, before the gospel reached us, a sameness to be found in us. Sameness, not that you become like me, that wouldn't help you at all, nor me to become like you. But rather we all become like the Lord Jesus Christ, and be new creatures, like Christ himself, the second man, might be reproduced in every one of us. That's the bearing, I think, speaking broadly of this new me. See then, we run over these verses again. Ye shall count unto you from the morrow, after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheep of the whale offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow, after the 7th Sabbath, shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. May I just stress this again to you, beloved. It isn't only what we begin by the people who come along, we must say, with the suffering in the night. Are you and I who are ourselves living the answer to it, a subject of the grace of God and the Spirit in our soul? It's not that I live for you or you live for me, or that we live for any company. The whole point is that we know that God in you, me offering, somehow that verse seems to be striking or pressing upon one's spirit this week. Remember again, much as we desire each other's company, and the rise in each other's company as belonging to God. First thing is, beloved, we are here for God's pleasure, not only for one another. Here for God's pleasure, as a new, made offering, a reproduction of Christ might be seen in this world. More and more, as occupied with the truth of doctrine, and that truth having its rightful effect in every one of our souls, to use the words of the Apostle in the third of 2 Corinthians, conform into his image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's one answer I do not doubt to the new reality. A reproduction in this world of all that Christ was in subject and mantle, that we know that the power of the Spirit might be walking a pathway conscious that the eye of God is upon us and that all times sing in the render of God, something that shall be for the delight of his heart and life. 50 days then beginning it, then because thank God still expanding, as you and I have a witness of that today, still part of this new meal. Well, now along with that, we read in verse 17, ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 weight loaves of 2 10 beans. Why, as we say, there were 2 of each. Why, as we have said, there is mentioned here in 2 weight loaves. Quoted, you remember, from the beginning of the Epistle to the Romans, four different characters of mankind. But before we get far in that epistle, there's all the other of Paul's epistles, it was the whole of mankind into two categories, Jew and Gentile. You know, I'm sure from the epistles how it showed us that whether it's a Jew on the one hand or a Gentile on the other, in the union of them, we are united together in Christ. As we have said, that there might be a reproduction in this world of his features. I understand then, first of all, that the two with laws is a company formed of the Jew and Gentile moving here for the pleasure of God. But we read again about the measure of them, 2:10. That's why I read those verses in John's Gospel. You remember last night we said a little about the offering of 2:10, a little higher up this chapter, and I think there it was Christ himself, the meat offering. And you remember the words, I'll quote them again to you at the end of John 14, that the world may know that I love the Father. And that word in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There, I believe, is an answer to those 2:10. One man in this world who loved God with all his heart and loved this fellow creature, his friends as he called them, and going to the cross and dying for them, that God may be glorified, and the man, his friends, not the rest. These are the features, beloved, that have come into life in us today. 2:10. I examine myself tonight. Do I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my life, with all my strength? That's what the Lord said, you see. I'm my neighbor as myself. That's what can be reproduced in us, that the spiritual requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, not again the terms, the walk no longer according to flesh, but according to spirit. That's how it's going to be reproduced in us today, walking in the power. You see why we said a little earlier in first step, be it what I may be born and grown into the Jew, Gentile, Roman, or whatever it may have been, barbarian even, the worst class of mankind, is the possibility walking according to the Spirit of reproducing the figure of Christ. Now another statement that I quoted in the sixth chapter, the second chapter, after the first, the first Sabbath was the first Sabbath of the barley harvest. The second first Sabbath was the first Sabbath of the wheat harvest. I hope that's clear. Let me say it again. The first Sabbath was the first Sabbath of the barley harvest, and the second first Sabbath was the first Sabbath of the wheat harvest. Said last night about that great chief, it was a barley. I knew you would come back to it tonight. It was a barley, the great chief, six weeks, the great chief, I should have said, 6 weeks before wheat. And that barley speaks of what is earthly, and the love of the wheat speaks of what is heavenly. Haven't we already quoted this week that in the sixth chapter of John, John tells us that those loaves were barley loaves, and the only one that does speak about the loaf being barley, John, of the four evangelists, he tells us they were barley. A picture of Israel surrounding the law and brought in the blessing, feeding them all, in answer to the manna that was given in the wilderness, the bread of God which came down from heaven. And then we refer to the 12th chapter of John. Except the grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it will die more. Now the wheat sheaf, the one we had last night, was a barley, but the new meat offering was made of wheat. And this fine flour, it isn't barley flour at all, it's wheaten flour. I do not doubt to give us even in time this impress that we have something here which in itself is not merely earthly, it's something which is heavenly. Son of Man who came down from heaven. 6 times we said in John's Gospel, I checked it up and I got on the farm, it was right. 6 times in that chapter, he comes down from heaven. And how wonderful, beloved, in creatures like us. They can be found in us, the features of a new, a heavenly man, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, manifest proof that we belong to that man, at the right hand of God in heaven above. This fine flower there, this wheaten flower, you and I, called with that heavenly calling, as so created with the man of heaven and in the glory of God, beloved, we are capable and are reproducing those features here in this world. And it's in this way the new meat offering has been brought to life by the Spirit, and you and I are subject to the Spirit's work to produce this in every one of us. Hence the 2:10 deeds, as we said, that come to life in the two worlds. Every picture of Christ, whether it be according to the will of God or in testimony to mankind in this world, perfectly moving here from the Lord. Now we find another, indeed I'm going to have a job to get through this tonight. We read in verse 17, then ye shall bring out of your habitations two with loaves of 2:10 fields, they shall be a fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits on the Lord. Why then do we get this leaven in this new meat offering? We emphasized last night, of course, there wasn't any leaven in the meat offering. Why then in the new meat offering? Why, beloved, because it refers to you. And then start to say there's leaven in every one of us. And that we know, do we not, in our exercise in this world, the motions of the flesh that still are there. But while that leaven is there, and we have to admit it's there, I think in bacon as being pointed out, in bacon and the law would nullify that leaven. You and I have a power in our souls to say no to what is wrong, and yes to what is right, even though we have to admit that we're part of this new becoming, the old man, the old nature, sin in the flesh, still dwells within, and we need the grace of God and exercise of heart, yes, I suppose that's what we should wear, exercise of heart daily, to take care that all leaven does not show itself, but rather the fine flower comes to light in preference to that leaven. Christ comes to light, instead of that first man, the old man, Adam, subjectively in every one of us. Bacon then, with leaven. I think it used the same in this way, are still in mixed conditions, yet able, in spite of it all, to walk here, subject of God's will, with the features of Christ, in testimony of God in the world. Now you notice this again about this newly offering, first fruits, unto the Lord. But I think if you care to look it up in a concordance, you'll find the word for first fruits here is not the same as the word we had last night, first fruits in relation to the Lord. The first one in relation to our Lord, it's used a little higher up, as the sheep of first fruits we saw it yesterday. That first means first in rank, first in position. But the second first fruit that we are reading tonight is really first in time. And I do not doubt the reason of that is we are not the only company that's going to be brought to light as the fruit of what Christ has done. We said these last 3 weeks will bring an Israel in the world to come, but we are the first in time, the first company to be brought into blessing as the fruit of what Christ has done. How careful the Spirit has been, beloved, in writing these chapters. While using the word first fruits in each case, one that puts the Lord the chief and rank, Lord of all. The other that puts us the first company draws into blessing, because Israel has yet to come into that pleasant blessing when we have left this world and are found in heaven. So the first group this time is blessing. Then along with that it says, they shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, 1 young bullock, and 2 rams for a burnt offering. There are lambs here in verse 18, a bullock, and a ram, and in verse 19, a goat. All these are used as typical of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The lamb, in view of the Lord and his subjection to God himself in perfect manhood, in John 1, you remember that John Baptist pointed him out, behold, the Lamb of God. Yes, but a few verses further down in that same chapter, he says, I bear record that this is the Son of God. I think I see the answer to the Lamb in that chapter, and I think I see the answer to that bullet, the Son of God. One great enough. That were never great enough to become the Lamb of God. No, beloved friends, I believe the boy is suggestive of Christ in his personal greatness because of who he was, able to fulfill that function, the Lamb of God. Subjection to the will of God on the one hand, by a person great enough to move at all times in the accomplishment of the will of God. But the ram, we find this speaks of devotion. The ram of consecration, for instance, that's the animal used when devotion is in view. It's all in us only men in this world, devoted to the will of God, I always those things that please him. But I think of the answer to the ram. But then we have a lot mentioned in verse 19. We'll say a little more about them if time permits. The goat, I think, shows his ability to deal with this question. And again, we may well ask the question, was anyone else able to do a work like that with the Son of God? No, beloved, was the goat. You may remember in the 16th chapter of this very book, on the great day of atonement, 2 goats were taken for the people, 1 for God, 1 for that scapegoat. Suggested of a person who was coming, capable of making the claims of God, and capable of removing man's sin and the work that he did when he died upon Calvary's cross. I believe that the land used him in his submission, the bullock in his personal greatness, the ram in his devotion, and the goat in his ability, and why bring them all in relation to the power in the union of them? I think it's to show that you and me today can have an understanding of all the details of the work of Christ. No doubt by the Spirit of God, these things are taught to us today. Why, pause, beloved, and ask ourselves, do we know anything about the Lamb of God? I think we are bound to do what we belong to him. Do we believe it was the Son of God doing this work? Do we believe he was always devoted to the will of God? Yes, we do. Do we believe he was capable of dealing with sin? Yes, thank God we do. We never have trusted him as our Savior. We are standing today in the place of favor. There's an expansion, you see, this time, in this feast, greater than anything that has ever come out of the chapter of the list one, by it speaks of a Christian company. Intelligently taught these divine things to the end that there might be an answer to them in every one of our lives and our offerings to God, an answer to them for the present pleasure of God. The first is a burnt offering, as we see in verse 18. A burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering, and once again, their meat offering. And we apply this to ourselves, that while the drink offering on Christianity of learning in this world, do we find trying to walk subject to the will of God bondage in this world? Or do we find it a delight to be here, seeking divine grace daily, to be here for the pleasure of God? That's the drink offering. Why the cheer for the heart of God? If we're going to take up divine things today, beloved, as a burden, or even merely as a responsibility, we're never going to know the blessedness and the joy of being taken out of the service of God and moving here for His pleasure. Somebody once said, why do you keep going to be enjoying that? Because we like to go. It isn't all the bit because we think we ought to go. No, not because we like to go. Just the place we desire to be, where the interests of God are sustained in the lives and the testimony of God's people. The drink offering then speaks of the delight that has been brought to life. You and I can share in that as we quoted last night. We join in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Then it says, he is a sacrifice. One given to God for a sin offering. First time a sin offering has been mentioned in this chapter. We pointed out last night there wasn't a sin offering with the wage, because it was Christ there in His work. Thank God that question was settled. But it's still there for you and I. And what I think I say now, coming alive here in the God of the sin offering, is what John speaks of, you remember, in his epistle. The leaven is in us. And at any time of wear and doubt that give up, that leaven can come out from us. And you remember John speaks of that. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Here I am as a saint of God, and if failure marks me in any way in my movements and testimony in this world, I find the word of Christ still available. I did this true repentance in my heart, and I want to be back again serving God. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Thank God it's never too late on the lines of recovery. Whatever we may have got in this world, it was you. We get it get away because of the leaven there. Let us remember we have an advocate. And if my heart is right, and my desire is right, to be in right relation with God Himself, of course it means right relating with the testimony in this world, I can come to God, and on the basis of this sin offering, one of the God's ability in Christ, that the very fear that may be marking me as a saint of God, and restore me in a happy communion with God to go on of His service in this world. What a provision then is made for us today to maintain the features of this new mid-offering. May I just say again, of course, the reason then we have the sin offering mentioned at this juncture is because of the leaven in the new. I don't think there'll be one of us here tonight, but sometime or other have done something we felt wasn't quite right as a saint of God, and wanted to put the matter right and get right with God again. And we confess the thing. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God then, beloved, we don't need to lay down the failure that the dust takes place. Bring it to God, bring it to Christ, confess our sin, and we find the sin offering will once more restore us into happy communion with God, and give us again a new desire to go on in His service in the pictures of that new offering, that once more Christ may come to light in every one of us, and His righteousness in us as we move here for the pleasure of God. So the score for the sin offering, I think, takes that into account. Two lambs of the first year, and along with that we find the sacrifice of peace offerings. Now we understand the peace offering, the first peace offering in this chapter. The peace offering is better translated prosperity offering. And it is the offering, the covenant of the Lord, of fellowship together. And again, as one of the most outstanding teachers today, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us. What a privilege, beloved, to be brought into Christian fellowship. Far from this world and all that's there and the evil that's there. To be in fellowship of those who are going on in the service of God and enjoying what is there. Mark you, it means that we have said that we are maintained here on the basis of the sin offering. It means a circle of fellowship has been brought to light in this world as the fruit of what Christ is. We've been brought into that fellowship, the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's in that fellowship then of the peace offering character we can move today, both in the enjoyment of what God has for us on the heavenly side and on interrupted communion with the sins of God on the other side. Hence, this peace offering is no more than. I say we have to be getting to an end. The priest shall wear them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. Now while the priest has been officially brought in into his work, the ram of consecration was used to bring the priest in into his work as a priest. The priesthood needs sustaining. Let's ask ourselves again tonight now, how much have I learned of these features of Christ? I'm afraid we've been very simple and very quickly we will help them, and me offering and all these offerings. But am I learning so much of what Christ is? I don't need to learn very much of what I am, though that's very all right. But learning a little more and more of what Christ is and what he's done for the pleasure of God. Not only to form me like him, but to give me now some spiritual ability as a holy priesthood to offer back to God in priestly thanksgiving and worship some intelligent response as we have grown in the knowledge of Christ that I believe comes out in his various offerings. Holy is the Lord for the peace. God is looking for the return of priestly return then from every one of us. And obviously from these offerings, the return that he is looking for is the offering to him as something of Christ himself, both in my life and on my lips in his praise. I might be here truly in priesthood, able to give back to God some little return and answer to all that Christ has done. Holy then to the Lord for the grace. Now one more word and we must. And he shall proclaim on the self same day that it may be a holy convocation of you. Notice again, he shall do no similar work within. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Once more, just we close with this word, the dwelling is brought in as well as the convocation. God doesn't expect us to begin convocation and take it to the dwelling. A family expects it to begin in the dwelling and bring it into the convocation. You and I have the privilege daily, beloved, of moving rightly in relation to these things. That when it does come to the convocation, which is the assembling together of the people of God, we are an asset there. Something that we can bring there, something that we can give there. Let us remember that it's not right in the dwelling. We can hardly expect it to be right in the congregation. And it's a list that God, I'm sure, would speak to us in these days. The exercise of our hearts would take that. And we may seize upon these features and seeking to be governed by them, learning of them, and allowing them to control us in this. Christ may be seen in our lives, in our dwellings, as we are moving in this world, and much to offer to God, in the assembly as we come together. together in a holy congregation, then we can get something of the pleasure of God that shall be for His glory and the blessing of that congregation. Well, may the Lord help us in relation to this, that Old Testament characters I know, that the fulfillment has come to life today in the power of the Spirit of God. And if we but move an exercise of heart and allow these things to control us, it's going to be much stronger in our lives, even today, that is going to be for the blessing of God. Now, can we sing together number, or just part of number 88? Just the last three verses of number 88. Thou wouldst, like wretched man, be made. That's the meat offering. In everything but sin. That we as likely might become, that's the new meat offering. As we unlike can be. Likely in faith, in meekness, love, in every duty of grace. From glory into glory change, till we behold thy face. Just from verse 5 of 88.
Such a condition that people can live there. That's the distinction between the house and the habitation. The house is the building itself, the assembly. But the habitation means that God has formed in that assembly such conditions that God himself can find his pleasure in that assembly. He can dwell there for the delight of his heart and surely, beloved, for the blessing of each one of our souls. So now, as the fruit then of this divine construction, God not only has builded a house, in that house he's formed the habitation, he's produced the conditions in which he himself can dwell and take his pleasure in his people today, as he will use them for the display of his glory in the world to come. Just a word to help on that, I say our time's about gone. You may remember that in the tabernacle, nobody ever dwelt there but God. Aaron perhaps once in the morning and once in the evening stepped beyond the first veil, not the second. Well, that's the only time ever he was inside, maybe just for a few moments, inside attending to the light, and out again. Only God dwelt there. But you remember Psalm 23. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 84, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and inquire at his temple. Ah, that's it, you see. When we come to the construction of the temple, other people dwelt in the temple, only God ever dwelt in that tabernacle. And the wonderful thing is here today that we'll be with God in the temple days and glorified, and through us his glory will shine out. The wonderful thought is today, before we are with God, God is with us in this wonderful tabernacle, and he's pleased, beloved, to dwell in this company that you and I belong to, build it together and habitation. Well then, here we are tonight, fruit of this divine construction. Through with every one of us, God has quickened us, recreated us in Christ Jesus. Christ has redeemed us, reconciled us unto God. The Spirit of God gives us access to God and builds us together an habitation of God through the Spirit. And as the fruit of this threefold work, here we are, formed in the assembly in such conditions that God can dwell with us, using us now to give delight to his heart of love, as he will use us for the display of his glory in the world to come. Oh, may we appreciate them, this work, and show God how much we do appreciate it by continuing to walk before him for his pleasure, that we should now. Now, can we sing together number 135? We joy in our God, And we sing of that love, so sovereign and free, which did his heart move, when lost our condition, all ruined, undone, he saw with compassion and spared not his son. 135.